For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa, filling in for Bob Levicky. Klein crosses the aisle. Cuccinelli is controversial for left and right. Virginia faces a huge bill for climate change. Rural seniors face a housing shortage. And a new public sculpture is inspired by a Confederate monument. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, June 21st, 2019. Deputies in Page County said a woman who fled with two children remains missing. According to the Page County Sheriff's Office, deputies are searching for 39-year-old Jessica H. Good of Luray and her children, 11-year-old Chloe Good and 4-year-old Reed Higgs, who is believed to be in need of medical attention. Deputies say Jessica Good is wanted on a warrant from the Page County General District Court. WHSV reports that the Shenandoah County Department of Social Services has also obtained a removal order to take one of the children from her custody. The sheriff's office says all three people are considered endangered. According to deputies, Good's vehicle was found in Stanley, but the three were not at the scene, and investigators continue to look for them. If you have any information, you're asked to call the Page County Sheriff's Office at 540-743-6571. The Daily News Record reports that on Tuesday, Congressman Ben Klein of Lexington and a bipartisan group of legislators introduced the Small Business Reorganization Act. Klein said it would make the bankruptcy filing process easier for businesses with less than $2.5 million in debt. The bill has support from Democrats and Republicans. Klein called it, quote, refreshing to be able to work across party lines. The Trump administration has finalized its biggest climate policy rollback, requiring the U.S. power sector to cut back its 2030 carbon emissions 35% over 2005 levels, or less than half what environmentalists say is needed to prevent catastrophic warming of the planet. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
The EPA has finalized its plans to replace Obama-era climate rules, and environmentalists are upset.
This plan is designed to thwart efforts to reduce emissions from the coal industry at the expense of human health and the environment.
Lisa Phelps of the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. But in Virginia coal country, industry spokesman Harry Childress says,
we don't think the promulgation of the Clean Power Plan was legal.
Virginia coal production has dropped from a yearly high of over 40 million tons to about 13 million in 2018. And I asked him if it was too late.
No, sir, I don't think it is. And we just think this is a positive step.
But he says coal's real problem is the lower cost of natural gas and alternate fuels. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Also in environmental news, an organization seeking to hold big oil accountable for global warming estimates it will cost more than $31 billion for Virginia to protect coastal communities from sea level rise. Virginia Public Radio's Pamela D'Angelo reports.
The Center for Climate Integrity report looks specifically at the cost for hardening shorelines with riprap or berms to safeguard communities vulnerable to chronic flooding over the next 20 years. Skip Stiles of Wetland Watch in Norfolk worked on the report.
It's a black and white simplistic approach to try to get some estimate of cost. Finding public infrastructure, non-military infrastructure, that was going to be inundated, and then saying, all right, let's put a simple berm around that infrastructure and not a 100-year flood wall, not a FEMA-approved flood wall, but just a simple berm to protect against what they call a one-year flood.
And it's not just coastal cities we often hear about, like Virginia Beach and Hampton. Virginia's Eastern Shore and Northern Neck on the Chesapeake Bay are listed among the top 10 counties that will incur billions of dollars to safeguard businesses, homes, and roads. Accomack County, which includes Tangier Island, is listed as having the highest cost at $4.9 billion, while Northumberland County was listed second at $2.3 billion, compared to Virginia Beach at $1.7 billion. From the Northern Neck of Virginia, I'm Pamela D'Angelo.
Former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli is now the acting director of the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, and that's riling even some Republicans in the Senate. Matt Laszlo has the story from the Capitol.
Cuccinelli has called for ending America's long-standing birthright citizenship rules and for restricting in-state tuition to only legal residents and citizens, which are viewed as extreme positions by even some members of his own party. That's why Democrats, like Northern Virginia Congressman Don Beyer, are furious that he'll now be helping administer U.S. immigration laws.
We need governmental leaders who can actually be good problem solvers rather than ideologues on the far right or the far left. And Ken Cuccinelli qualifies as a far right ideologue.
The pick is even riling members of the GOP, who are upset that President Trump went around the Senate by naming Cuccinelli to an acting role instead of formally nominating him, which would require Senate confirmation. Utah Republican Senator Mitt Romney and others in the GOP doubt whether he could have ever been confirmed.
He said some pretty inflammatory things about members of the Senate, and that's going to make the process more difficult for him.
But Southwest Virginia Republican Representative Morgan Griffith says even though he's disagreed with Cuccinelli on some issues, the two have always gotten along. He blames Democrats for holding up the confirmation process in the Senate.
Hundreds that are backlogged, I mean, judges and appointees of the president for the administrative branch. If they don't like somebody, vote no. That's okay. That's their constitutional right, but get it done.
It's unclear if Trump will eventually seek to name Cuccinelli permanently to the post, which would then require Senate confirmation. Reporting from the Capitol, I'm Matt Laszlo.
Also in immigration news, a retired 16th Circuit Court judge says the sheriff of Culpeper County has the authority to cooperate with federal immigration officials in a jail program. The Daily Progress reports that Judge Paul M. Petras Jr. issued a written opinion on May 28th stating that the 287 program of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement allows jail officials processing inmates to screen them for documentation status. He also said that the officials can issue 48-hour detainers, during which time ICE can choose to take the inmates into custody. Virginia ACLU spokesperson Bill Farrar said the organization disagrees with the judge's ruling. The ACLU is in the process of filing both a motion for the judge to reconsider and an appeal to the state Supreme Court. The nonprofit group Housing Virginia presented new findings on housing in rural areas on Wednesday. As WCVE intern Patrick Larson reports, they told lawmakers that there is a shortage of affordable homes for an aging population.
Housing Virginia gathered information from realtors, local governments, and developers in rural Virginia to determine how to address housing problems there. Senior Associate Erica Sims says that rural areas struggle with housing availability. What is available is often too expensive or run down.
A much broader range of people at a much broader range of incomes are finding themselves priced out of the market.
Sim says that this supply shortage has led to a new consensus among developers and local governments. Paying for new developments remains an issue. Housing Virginia would like to see lawmakers increase funding to the Virginia Housing Trust Fund, which is set aside by the state to develop long-term affordable housing.
That's WCVE intern Patrick Larson reporting. This week, the Commonwealth Transportation Board approved $774 million in funding to sustain and improve the passenger rail network. Once again, from partner station WCVE, here's Charles Fishburne.
The money is dedicated to passenger rail and sustains Amtrak regional service.
These investments sustain passenger rail service for 6.8 million Virginians across the state, as well as expand service by 16% out to Hampton Roads and the New River Valley in Roanoke.
Danny Plogger, Executive Director of Virginians for High Speed Rail.
The vast majority of the $774 million worth of investments are going towards improving our passenger rail service, including building over 11% of the D.C. to Richmond high-speed rail corridor.
Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Local leaders are cracking down on people swimming in quarries on private property. There was a joint press conference yesterday with officials from Albemarle and Nelson counties to explain the dangers of swimming in quarries and the consequences of trespassing on private property. WHSV reports that this comes after the drowning death of Henry Morin of Hanover County in a quarry near Schuyler in May. Nelson County Commonwealth Attorney Daniel Weatherford says 82 people have already been cited this year for trespassing around quarries, which is a Class 1 misdemeanor. Anyone caught trespassing can face up to 12 months in jail and a $2,500 fine. There are dozens of quarries in the area around Schuyler in Albemarle and Nelson counties, all of which are private property. And finally for this week, artist Kahende Wiley, best known for painting President Obama's official portrait, has announced his first large-scale public sculpture, and Virginia will ultimately be its home. As Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports, the piece is modeled after a Confederate monument in Richmond.
Standing outside the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts in downtown Richmond, Chief Curator Michael Taylor waves towards a large grassy space along Arthur Ashe Boulevard.
So on December 10th, we will unveil a sculpture right there, and it will stand about 30 feet tall.
That's approximately the same size and structure as the nearby monument of Confederate General Jeb Stuart. But artist Kehinde Wiley's version...
His monument is different. It shows a young African-American man sitting on a horse. It's a very heroic image.
Wiley is known for taking classical paintings and reimagining them with black subjects. But this will be his first public statue. According to a press release, he got the idea in 2016 when he was in the city for the opening of one of his art exhibits. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
And for WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening. And enjoy your Friday.